winning season. I want to talk to you about winning in your life. We've been in this whole series entitled Winning. And I want to talk to you about winning even when life is hard. Winning even when life is difficult. Winning when we're even facing challenges. And so let's pray, and we're just going to jump right into things. Father, I come before you today in Jesus' name, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity that I have just to share your word for a few moments here. God, it's just an honor to be here to celebrate you, to celebrate Jesus and all that you've done. And just on this special day, it's to remember you. And I pray that, again, just even as we're here, each one of us will be marked by just your grace and marked by your goodness and just marked in a fresh way by all that you have done for us. Lord, it's already been prayed, but I echo the prayers as well just for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Sri Lanka, Father, who have just faced that terrible tragedy today, Father, and just the attacks against churches and people worshiping, Father. Lord, we pray, we don't really even have the words that can properly express, like, how do we really pray in these situations? But God, we know that even when we don't know, you know, and we pray that you bring peace, you bring love, Father, you bring comfort, God, just into that situation. And really, Lord, even beyond that, we pray for the persecuted church at large around the world. God, because we have an opportunity just to come here and to worship and to join together, God, but there's a lot of people who don't have that opportunity to do this openly and to do this freely. And so we are thankful for the freedom that we have, but we also pray for all our brothers and sisters around the world who do not have that freedom. And we pray that just for your strength, your support to them, and Lord, for changes that will bring freedom for them in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Thank you for your word that you're just going to speak to us in the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed, said, amen. You know, it was interesting, just even as we were praying there, I woke up this morning and saw the news. I don't know what you look at in the morning. We always turn on CP24. That's our thing, right? So if we're going to watch something, we turn it on in the morning, you know, you get the morning news. And we're there, I'll look at CP24, and of course you see the headlines coming across about the terrible bombings and the terrible attacks. And, you know, my heart just sank, you know, because it was like, I was so excited about today. And, you know, I still am excited about today, but it kind of puts a different tone on things, doesn't it? And it really brings a different spin. And it really reminded me of something that even as I was preparing for this message, that, you know, we do live in a world where there's a lot of pain. We live in the world where there is a lot of difficulties, if I can say that. You know, quite often we get busy in our own lives and what's going on. But, you know, you just take a step back and look at the news every day. Look at what's going on in the world. Look at the injustice. Look at the pain. You can see that, man, there's a lot going on in our world. You know, if we personalize it a little bit more, not only is there a lot going around in our world, but there's a lot going on for many of us in our personal worlds right now. You know, even in this room, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of battles, there's a lot of challenges, there's a lot of difficulties. I mean, you know, I know, we live in a culture where image is very important, and so what we learn to do is we learn to put on a good front. We learn to put on that good face. You know, and on some levels it makes sense, right? Because you're not going to go around just bleeding everywhere. You're not going to go around just kind of, my life is terrible. And you know, some of it's just our coping mechanisms. But we learn to kind of put on a good front. We learn to take our pain, to take the things we're going through, to take the disappointments, the struggles of our lives. And we learn to kind of bury them, to keep them covered up, to cover them up. Because no one really wants to walk around just looking like that and letting their pain out everywhere. But even in that, it still creeps out at times, and it still sneaks out. But even in a room like this, you know, sometimes the charges in church is that we, you know, can be hypocrites. And really, a hypocrite means just to wear a mask and pretend to be somebody you're not. And we've all done that at different times. We've all walked in that place. But it's we learn to cover. We learn to act. We learn to put this presentation like everything's okay, but so often below the surface, there's so much pain, there's so much difficulty. There's things that we go through. You know, we often start our lives, and we have seasons, you know, as you're younger, where there's so much hope. There's hope for the future. I mean, some of us, that leaves very quickly. But others of us, you know, we get through a certain season of our life, and there's hope, but sooner or later, life hits. Sooner or later, difficulties hit. things hit home and they hurt. They're hard. They're difficult. It can be so painful sometimes. And we've seen it, and it's sad. Maybe there's some people even here that, you know, you start to wonder, do I even want to live anymore? Because living just hurts too much. You know, it's interesting, too, because when we face pain and we face these difficulties, we face these challenges, so often we feel like we're the only one. You know, we kind of get into isolation. It's just like, I'm the only one, because everyone around us has the, you know, has the good look on, and so we know what's going on inside of us, and even more so in this social media-driven generation. You know, Instagram is not somebody's life. It's their highlights, right? It's their highlights, but we look at everybody else's feed, and they look like everything's going great, and then we look at my reality, and we feel like I'm the only one, no else, but then you start digging a little deeper in life. You start realizing, man, this isn't just me. And, you know, I've pastored for 20 years now. I've worked with people. You start to realize, man, everybody's got pain. Everybody's got stuff that they're going through. So you might have been sitting there, look at me, say, well, preacher, what do you have to tell me about pain? What do you have to tell me about going through stuff? You're up there in your blazer, and you got this in a church. And what do you really know about what's going on? I did rock the blazer today. Any good blazer I have, I promise you, my wife bought it for me. But that's another item. You know, but let me just tell you a little bit about life and about some pain. We, you know, with my wife and I, we had 2006. We've nicknamed it the year from hell. You know, it started off really well. You know, we got married on April 9th, 2005. Young married couple. I was laughing because I always remember the anniversary date. You know, usually it's the guy who messes it up. I'm good with dates. And I always remember the date. My wife's like, April something. What is it again, babes? When did we get married? But, you know, so we get into 2006, and the year started off right off the start of the year. We found out we were expecting. And we were so excited. We were so excited. It was earlier than we thought. We hadn't planned, you know, to have kids that quickly, but we knew we wanted kids, and we're like, okay, Lord, like, you know, we trusted God with our lives. We're like, okay, if we're pregnant now, let's get ready. And so we're really excited. Okay, you know, this is quicker than we thought, but we're moving into building a family, and let's go. And so we got going into the year, and everything's good. And then we hit March, and in March, we get a shocking phone call that a mentor in our lives, particularly a mentor I was starting to grow closer with, a man named Pastor Mark Woodley. Some of you would know his daughter, Laura Woodley Osmond, who does a lot of worship music and different things, and pastors and ministers. But we got the call that he passed away in his sleep. And just suddenly, like that, to compound the tragedy of it, was it was 2 days or 3 days, if I remember correctly, after his daughter had gotten married. And so she was away on her honeymoon. And he had passed away. You know, obviously, I can't even imagine the pain that the family went through, you know, the pain that Laura went through. With her dad passing away, but, you know, there still was a pain for us in that. We had a mentor who'd suddenly passed away. But, you know, what do you do? Well, you just, okay, you know, like, you pray about it. You talk about it, you keep going. Life's busy. We got stuff going on. But, you know, it takes a little bit of the steam out of you. Then coming near the end of March, coming into April, I actually remember because we were getting ready to do a retreat at the church. It was a Friday. We're at the office back there, those old offices in Pickering. And my wife says to me, babes, I don't know for sure, but I feel like something might be wrong with the pregnancy. I'm having some weird symptoms here. So I'm like, oh, okay, no. Like, I felt like we're good. Like, let's just go to the hospital. Just be safe. We know we're going to be good. So we go into the hospital, and, you know, they run the barrage of tests, and the doctor says, well, I think we should probably get an ultrasound. And so we go to get that ultrasound. And for the rest of my life, I'll remember when they looked at us, and they said, I am really sorry to tell you, but your baby has no heartbeat. And it was just like all the... I mean, I don't know. How do you even describe it? Like, just everything in you, you just feel, like, crushed in that moment. I mean, you're in shock, right? You can't even believe you're hearing the words, but they're telling you your baby has no heartbeat. So, obviously, I mean, we were devastated. I was devastated, you know, for myself. I know my wife was devastated. I remember at home, and I just remember I've never cried so hard in my entire life. You know, and so we her parents lived in Ottawa at the time, and so we thought, well, let's just get out of town, let's go see them, and we went to stay with them, and Cher's dad was a doctor, you know, an OBGYN in the Ottawa Hospital, so he had access to a lot of services, and so we went, and you're trying to process this, like, you just got hit by a Mack truck, and it's like, what do we do now? And I remember we thought, well, and part of me was like, okay, we just need to pray. I'd heard stories of like God miraculously resurrecting children. And I'm like, okay, we're just going to pray. And, you know, we need to really pray. But it was an inside. I mean, I didn't feel like I was winning. I didn't feel any faith. I just felt absolutely devastated, heartbroken. But we're like, okay, let's take a couple days. Let's just pray. And nothing changed. And we're like, okay, let's just, you know, have obviously medical procedure, take care of your DNC. And I remember, so they took us into the hospital. Cher's dad got us in kind of really quick and got us in there. But I remember the night, it was just around dusk. The sun was just going down, and they had us in the baby wing of things, and they're wheeling her away for her operation. And I'm left there all alone in a birthing room while my wife is being wheeled out. And I mean, I was so shattered at that point. I mean, my heart, I didn't even know she was going to come back. You know, and it was painful. I mean, you can't even really begin to describe how painful it was. You know, God met me there, but it didn't take away the fact that I was really facing pain. And, you know, God did meet me in a really powerful way. That's for another story right now, because I'm focused more on that. So we're good, you know, and you're okay, we got to go forward. And we ended up, we were just reflecting on this, we had a first anniversary trip to the UK, and so we ended up going anyways, and it was a good kind of getaway, and it kind of gives you a bit of a reprieve. But now it's like you're limping along, you know, because just you had all these hopes, you had all these dreams, now you're just confronting all this pain. Life didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. You know, keep pastoring, keep preaching, you keep doing it, you keep going forward, but you're now dragging yourself along. And so to further kind of complicate things, because the year wasn't done yet, in the background of all this, Cher's dad was in the middle of a battle with cancer. And so that was April, and by about July, you know, we got the call, dad's really not doing well, you guys should come and see him. And so we hop in the car, and, you know, there was lots of, I'll never forget moments in this year, because I'll never forget, we're on the 401, somewhere between here and Kingston, and we get the call that dad passed away. And so you imagine, I mean, I think of the pain I went through. I sometimes try and picture the pain my wife went through that year, you know, of just losing a baby and then losing her father. And so in that season, life was not fun. Life was not easy. Life downright sucked on many levels. There's still good things, but you're trying to find your way through it. You're trying to find your way through it. And how do we do that? Because that's a little bit of my story of some pain I've been through. And you know, maybe you've been through some similar things. Maybe you've been through very different things. Each one of us is different. Each one of us is a different life and a different journey. But I promise this, each one of us has been through pain. Life, it is that way. And how do we handle it? What do we do about this? You know, how do we go forward? Because for real talks, many of us in here, again, we've put ourselves together very well, but just below the surface, there's a lot of pain. And what are we doing about that? How do we handle that? I've been pastoring and working with people for 20 years now, so I've watched this a little bit. I've watched some of the temptations in my life, because that's not the only pain we face. Yeah, we've had lots of great things and lots of great stories, but, you know, and I laughed in first service. I could see the looks on some people's face going, Pastor, this is not a Resurrection Sunday message. You know, where are you taking us on this right now? You know, where are we going? My question is, how do we handle this pain? What do we do about it? And I've noticed some of the wrong ways that we try and handle pain. First off, there's some of us that we go into denial. We just try and pretend it's not there. We try and pretend it isn't happening. Kyle, if I can borrow you for a second here, sir. Looking very sharp in your Easter color palette today. But what we do is we bird box it. We put a blindfold on, and we pretend that this isn't happening. We pretend that we're not hurting. We pretend that it's just we just pretend. Anyone ever played hide and seek when you were a kid? And, you know, you have that really usually that little kid, and they just run to the corner, and they cover their eyes, and they figure, because I can't see you, you can't see me. Or maybe you were that kid who ran and did that, and you know, you learn pretty quickly, just because I cover my eyes and I pretend that I can't see you doesn't mean you can't see me. And yet, what many of us do with pain is we cover our eyes and just pretend it doesn't hurt. But here's the problem, it does. And it doesn't go away, it doesn't get any better. It's amazing, especially pain of the soul. Pain in our bodies tends to lessen over time, but pain of the soul, pain in our hearts, can be just as fresh years later. And so we're trying to, but it just doesn't work. You know, it doesn't happen. So some of us do that. Thank you, Kyle. You can just hang out with you for a little bit. So you're good. You can imagine what I'm saying. You're in front of everyone, totally blindfolded. Let me say this. I'll say this. When you live like this and you're in denial to pain, it starts to break down your ability just to function in everyday life, because you no longer see clearly. You can't see. You can't see in relationship. You can't see what's going on because you're in denial to pain. But some of us don't do that. Some of us, we don't go into denial. What we do is we attempt to medicate our pain. And so each one of us has our drug of choice, if I could call it that, or several drugs of choice. It can be materialism. It can be entertainment. It can be getting lost in, you know, imaginary worlds of, you know, different things. Like, there's all kinds. It can be alcohol. It can be drugs. It can be sex. It can be success. It can be, there's so many things. Every one of us is different. But we can try, and so maybe I'll borrow. Can I come? Yes, come on and join me really quickly. So Aaron's going to come. Man, we just have people well-dressed, looking very sharp today. There we go. And so just come, you can front and center. And so some of us, what we do is we try and medicate our pain. And so we try and, you know, cover it up. It's like, it's not there, but we try. You know, it's like, I don't know, there was that cold thing going around last month, and I was so cheesed because I got it, and I'd been doing good all winter. And it was like, oh, man, it was whatever. But you got, it's just like headache and not, you know, just, oh, man, it just was not a good situation. So you take medication. But really what you're doing, and you know it very well, you're not actually getting rid of the cold, you're just covering up the symptoms. And once the medication wears off, you're right back to where you started. Sometimes even worse. And see, it's interesting. So what we do is we take our drug of choice, what's your drug of choice, to try and cover up the pain. But the problem is it doesn't heal with the pain. It doesn't deal with the pain. All it does is covers up the pain for a few hours or for a day or for a week. But sooner or later, the pain comes back because it's always there because we're just medicating it, not actually getting it healed. So that's found a lot of people. You know, it's interesting. One of the things I've learned over time and just working with people is some people do some crazy things. But a lot of times, people who do crazy things really aren't crazy people. They've just got some crazy pain they're trying to deal with. And it's interesting, too, because what I found is it's just kind of, it's unfair the way it works, but it's really the devil and the way he preys on people's weaknesses. But I've watched the medication that we choose, you know, the drug of choice, whatever we're taking to try and medicate our pain, it doesn't help us become a better version of ourselves. It actually, over time, just takes us further and further away from who we even want to be. It begins to destroy our lives. Whether it becomes an addiction, whether it becomes overwhelming in our life. And so, not only have you got this pain, and now even the medication for the pain is destroying our life even more. And so we got some of us who are in denial, some of us who try and medicate. And then some of us, we don't deny it. We don't medication. We just say, I'm going to soldier this thing out. So we get whatever weapon of choice we can find, and we just say, I'm soldiering this thing out. Paul, I'll get you to come help me again, sir. Can flex those biceps for everybody. And so what we do is we just say, I'm gonna soldier this thing out. I'm gonna fight this. I in my own strength somehow gonna fight through this pain. And I'm gonna fight it. I'm a soldier, right? It doesn't bother me, it's not this. I'm gonna get through this. But the problem is it does hurt, and we don't have the ability just to fight through it and soldier through it. And furthermore, what tends to happen is because we're fighting this, we pretty soon start fighting everybody and everything around us. And we end up hurting people around us. We end up hurting those in our lives. The ones we love the most, we end up hurting them because we're trying to fight through this pain, but in the middle of that, we end up just fighting everybody. Is this maybe the way you try and deal with pain? There's many more things I could share today because there's so many different ways that we try to deal with pain. But these are three of the main ones that I've seen in people and three of the main things that I've struggled with at different points in my life when I'm trying to work through pain. Do we try and deny it? Do we try and medicate it? Do we try and fight through it and just soldier it out? And today what I want to do, just in the final moments here, I want to suggest to you that there's a better way. I want to suggest to you that there is a different way, because we've already established that there is going to be pain. Jesus himself said, in this world, you are going to have trouble. You are going to have tribulation. We've already established that there's going to be pain. Some will have more than us. Some will have less than us. But we're all going to have our journey. We're all going to have pain. But I want to suggest to you a better way. I want to suggest to you a way that will really actually not just deny pain, not just medicate it for a season, but it's still there, not just cause you to feel like you got to soldier it out because you become so hard and you become so hard against everybody around you. I want to talk to you. I want to encourage you. I want to invite you today to a different way, to a different pathway, if I could say it that way. And it's not just a formula. It's not just a concept or an idea, but it is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I want to tell you, I've talked to you about our pain, but I want to talk to you as well. When we went through that year in 2006, we didn't move into denial, even though there was a temptation to at times. We didn't move into medicating the pain, even though, again, there was a temptation to do that at times. We didn't move into just feeling like, okay, I'm just going to soldier this out and fight through this thing. But I remember, even when my wife was wheeled away, being in that room, and I remember just calling out to Jesus and calling out on the name of Jesus, because I had a relationship with him, because I knew that he had come for me. He loved me. He died. He rose again. That he won. And so even though I was going through what felt like the biggest loss right now of my entire life, that there was still victory in him and that he could come alongside me. He could pick me up when I feel like I've fallen down, and he could carry me through what I was going through in this situation. It wasn't a formula. It wasn't anything else other than a relationship with Jesus. Let me read to you something that he said. And it's from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, listen, this is Jesus' words, but I want you to hear this as if he's saying it to you today and to me. He said, are you weary carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. Following Jesus doesn't mean we'll never face pain. Following Jesus doesn't mean it magically just erases all the pain we've gone through. But what following Jesus does mean is that, number one, we're not alone. And number two, we have the healer who comes into our life. And he can come in and begin to heal every bit of pain that we have walked through in our lives. Jesus Christ is the answer. Not religion, not church attendance, but a recognition of our need of him in our lives and a commitment to open our lives up to him. What did he say here? Are you weary? Are you carrying a heavy burden? If I could say it this way to paraphrase it, which I believe would be correct. Are you carrying pain? Are you under tremendous pressure? Have you been through trials? Have you been through difficulties? Then come to me. See, we don't go into denial. Don't go to medicate. Don't try and fight through it by yourself, but come to me. You've tried so many other ways to try and work through your pain today. Why not come to him? You've tried so many ways to walk through it. Why not come to him and really open your heart up, open your life up, and see what he can do in your life and through you? Jesus said, come to me. I love this. In John 16:33, he said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I'm not here talking about some utopia where everything is perfect and all pain goes away. What I'm talking about is a real God who really loves you, who has real answers for the real problems and the real situations that you're facing in your life. The key is just getting real with Him. See, when we walk through our pain, and it's not the only season of pain we've walked through in our lives, we made a decision. I'm not going to run away from God, but I'm going to run to God. I'm going to go to Him because He has the answers. And right now I'm in pain. I don't understand what's going on. There's all kinds of things going on in my life. But running away from God is the worst possible thing I could do because He's the only one who's got the answers and the solutions. So I'm going to run to Him. Come to me. So you might be asking, say, okay, well, how do I do that? How do I come to Him? Well, I like to say it this way. There's many ways to look at it, but it's as easy as A, B, C. A, everyone say A. I first have to admit my need of Him. I have to admit that I need Him. And when I admit I need Him, what it actually does is it takes the blindfold off. So you tied the knot really tight. Take the blindfold off. It takes the blindfold off, and all of a sudden my eyes are open to see. It takes the blindfold off, and my eyes are open to see. Why? Because I admit my need of Him. Number two, or B, I believe that He is the answer. See, what I do is I stop trying to medicate myself with so many other things, whether I'm saying it intrinsically or non-intrinsically, saying that those things are the answer, and I believe that He is the answer. I believe that He is the Son of God. I believe that He has what I need. And then number C, what I do is I confess Him as my Lord. I lay down my right to fight, my right to try and make this happen myself. See, this represents me. I can do this myself. Well, here's the news. You can't. You haven't done it up till now. You're not going to be able to do it. But what I do is I say, listen, I'm going to lay down my right to try and make this happen myself. And Jesus, I'm confessing You as my Lord and Savior. I'm giving my life to You. I'm opening up my life to You. I'm not going to try and run this my way anymore. I'm going to say humbly, You help me. I need help. Right? It's like sometimes with my kids, especially my son, he wants to do it himself. I'm like, listen, I can help you. He's like, no, I'm going to do it. I can do it. And you know, sometimes he gets things done, but there's other things. He's just, you're not getting it done. Like, but sometimes just sit back. Okay. You know, you can keep trying. Let me know when you're ready. And after a while, he's like, okay, you know. Well, sometimes God's like that with us. He's listen, like, stop trying to do it yourself. Will You let me help? So what I need to do, I need to admit, I need to believe, I need to confess. Thank you, guys. You guys can take your seats. And special thank you to Kyle for standing up here blindfolded for half of my message. And so just as we close, we're going to close in prayer. I would absolutely consider it an incredible honor, and I would love for us to be able to pray with anyone who recognizes that they need this, who recognizes, I need, I've tried all these different things. I need Jesus. And see, when you accept Jesus, what happens is you open your heart up, and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and He begins to transform you. It begins to heal you. It begins to restore you. And furthermore, you get established in this relationship with God. That's what we say. It's not about religion or about church attendance or about joining a church. No, it's about a relationship with God where He's real and He's really part of your life. And all of that, but because you have relationship with God, you have it for this life, but you also have it for all of eternity. And when we die, we can have confidence that I know when I die, I'm going to spend eternity with Him. And that all comes from admitting, believing, confessing. It's as easy as A, B, C. So I'm going to pray for everyone here. I just want to ask if you would bow your head and close your eyes.